Hour 3, Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Kevin Dunn alongside Rod Babers and also Brad Kellner here on the Horn. We're live, we're local, we're digital, we're watching the Masters. We'll keep you up to date updated on what's going on there. You can get to hornfm.com if you want to check out any of the podcast. And don't forget, get the Horn app because it's easy, it's quick. You can listen to us wherever you want. All right, two in, two to go here. And we started the show off, so you can get to hornfm.com and check that out. Getting to a Longhorns Wire article by Griffin McVeigh, and it's titled Seven Texas Football Bold Predictions for 2021 Spring Edition. We hit three of those in the 3 o'clock hour. The first one is probably the biggest one. Hudson Card wins the quarterback competition. So we weighed in on that. Then also, Juwan Mitchell's transfer will not hurt. And the third one being Jatavion Sanders ends up playing on defense. I think all of us thought he probably will end up playing on defense. But BK, you want to see him as a tight end.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I understand what you're thinking there. You at least want to see a skill set there with Sark.
I'm a modern era football fan. I'm an Fair. Offensive guy. Some would argue I'm an offensive guy, too.
I'd argue both.
I also probably would argue both from time to time. But, yeah, I just want an impact player at tight end. It's been a long time since Texas has had a true dual-threat tight end, a guy who can block, but a guy who can also go out and be a weapon as a receiver. And I think Jatavion Sanders' skill set will allow for him to do that, and do that early, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, he's not the type of kid that maybe 2-3 years down the road he could emerge as a good tight end and a good pass-catching threat for your offense. No, I think he's a guy right now who would already be your best pass-catching threat as a tight end on the roster. And I would love to see that happen, especially with the uncertainty with the wide receiver position with this team.
Rob, before we move on to number four here, you had said in the 3 o'clock hour that you kind of like him at that jack position or that X position, and Griffin talked about that in the article. There seems to be more of a need on defense, but if he's that good offensively, I guess there still could definitely be a need with tight end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have that completely figured out.
No, but you do have an
you got
a lot of bodies.
Yeah.
You have an abundance of bodies there, at least. I mean, you're talking about Jared Wiley, Cade Brewer, Malcolm Epps is still thrown in there. Braden Liebrock is still dealing with an injury, but he'll be back. And then you got Gunnar Helm. You just got a lot of bodies there at tight end. So you have options to try to figure things out. On defense, especially at that jack or that X position, that hybrid outside linebacker, first of all, you're limited because only so many guys have the type of body, the ideal prototypical body you want for that position, that hybridism within their skill set. And then, of course, you need to find an impact pass rusher, and Jatavion Sanders is an impact football player. So I see him focusing on there, but I wouldn't doubt if Sark is open to letting him explore, you know, his different dimensions, if you will, as a football player on offense and defense. He did it with Adoree Jackson at USC, also did it with John Ross there in Washington, played cornerback and wide receiver. And Austin Seferian Jenkins played low third down pass rusher and was also a tight end. So he's got it in his background to at least let guys explore those options for a certain time, for early in their career.
Or keep them happy early.
Exactly.
Say, hey, we gave you a chance.
It gave you a chance.
We gave you a shot.
But now we need you to focus. Right. On this one position, and usually that's when it happens around their sophomore or junior year. So I could see that happen with Jatavion.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen at tight end.
Yes.
I'm just not sure any of them can cook.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm the highest on Wiley.
I think
Wiley could be a difference.
Jared Wiley actually can go. He can go. But he hasn't been utilized here. So I'm
agreed.
With you, yeah.
All right, here's a guy who has been utilized, but we've talked about this. I think all three of us at some point have probably talked about this, certainly Rod, but the fourth bold prediction that Griffin has here, longhornswire.usatoday.com, if you want to look at this, is Chris Adamora moves to safety. So, Rod, I'll go and start with you here, DBU guy. You know, we've kind of talked about that safety spot, and is there going to be good enough guys? And you've mentioned this a couple times. You could see Adamora playing in some different spots.
I just wondered what they do with him.
Yeah.
Right? He was up to 215 pounds, playing above 215 pounds last year because Chris Ash wanted to use him as basically kind of a linebacker there, use him at linebacker depth a ton. Now he's lost weight. I think he's down to more of 205. But if Tyler Owens is indeed switching down to linebacker and transitioning linebacker, we heard that from him. He hinted at it via his Twitter, but we have not heard that actually from coaches or from anybody else or any inside reports. But if that is indeed true, this will be a perfect you know, kind of change for him because they'll need more depth if Tyler Owens is going to linebacker, then he can naturally transition right behind B.J. Foster as that boundary safety or strong safety. So I think he actually fits better at safety than he does at nickel.
I do too.
Nickel requires a guy that can – I mean, he's a really good athlete, but nickel requires some foot speed, and he's not a technician. At least Anthony Cook's a technician. He's not a technician, doesn't have great foot speed. I think he can be taken advantage of there in the Big 12, but I think he can be an asset actually at safety.
I think Chris Adamora is being cross-trained right now.
Okay.
I've seen reports of him working a little bit at safety. I've seen a lot of reports with him working at nickel as well. And it feels like Adamora and Anthony Cook are splitting reps with the ones at that nickel position. I honestly think where Chris Adamora ends up is determined by how Anthony Cook plays. Because I agree with you, Rod. I think Anthony Cook's more of a natural fit for that position. I think his ceiling at that position is higher. He was a more highly touted recruit. He was recruited as a true corner, whereas Chris Adamora was recruited more as a safety. So I think ideally, in a perfect world, you do have Adamora kind of as your depth piece.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who could play safety for you, maybe get some starting reps as well,
yeah.
But a guy who could also be a depth guy for Anthony Cook, or maybe any of the corners.
I think you have to know, man.
And just a guy who, if somebody goes down with injury, knock on wood, you feel pretty good about that spot because I don't think there's much of a drop-off there. So I really think the way Anthony Cook plays, if he can finally put a stranglehold on a starting position in that secondary, then I think Chris Adamora could be sort of the odd man out. But if not, then I think Adamora's got a shot to start there.
I think both y'all nailed it, and I think you're right. I think right now he's cross-training people and looking at his defenses for years. That's kind of what he wanted, that versatility. So I guess that gets to us to our fifth bold prediction, because these could kind of play together a little bit, and that is Josh Thompson moves to nickel. BK, I'll start with you on this one. Can you envision Josh Thompson being the nickel?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I hope Texas has an embarrassment of riches at those outside corner spots.
I don't think we do, though.
Like, I hope Darian Dunn is awesome, and I hope Deshaun Jameson and Josh Thompson could build on the solid seasons they had last year. I wouldn't use a word much stronger than solid, but I'll say they were solid enough last year. I don't think that's in the works. I just don't think that's going to happen. Rod, what about you? I mean, do you think Josh Thompson's skill set would allow him to play that nickel corner? Like, the reasoning in the article is just giving credit to Josh Thompson and talking about how so many teams in the Big 12 these days will put their best receiver in the slot and try to get that matchup against the nickel corner.
Yeah.
So the author, Griffin McVay, is not trying to diminish Josh Thompson. He's saying, hey, Josh Thompson might be so good, and you might feel good enough about Darian Dunn and Deshaun Jameson on the outside that, hey, you're going to want Josh Thompson going up against some of the number one corners or some of the number one wide receivers in the slot this year. I just don't know if his skill set necessarily fits that.
I'm going to agree with you. I think the assumption in the article is that Josh Thompson's your best corner.
It might be.
Which is also a bold assumption.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
Like, if he was that good, say he's that good and he is that multiple, right? He's that versatile. Then, yes, it'd be great if you had a shutdown corner that could also play inside and play the nickel. But, you know, he ain't Nasty Nate. All right, there. I mean,
Texas hasn't had a shutdown corner for a long time.
Exactly. So I don't necessarily see that as an asset to move around Josh Thompson so that he can shadow a wide receiver. Like, nah, that's not really necessary. If anything, Deshaun Jameson probably could make a claim to be your best corner. But I don't think Texas and Pete Kwiatkowski's system is going to be using a corner unless someone asserts themselves as a shutdown corner to move those guys around and have them shadow the opposing team's best wide receiver. But I do believe Josh Thompson can play nickel. He has played nickel and played safety and played corner. He's played every position basically in the secondary. I think he could do it. I don't know what's going to be asked of the nickel. I know the nickel's going to be prioritized as a coverage guy in Pete Kwiatkowski's scheme. So I think he actually could do it. Depends on if they believe they have three starting caliber corners. They said that last year though. Remember?
Last couple years.
Yeah, you know, Chris Ashton was like, we got three starting caliber corners where Jalen Green was not starting caliber corner, and Deshaun Jameson and Josh Thompson were borderline, and they got better throughout the year. So hopefully those guys start where they finished last year, because actually they finished last year playing much better football. And then Darian Dunn, your kinfolk, KD, adds to the mix where he actually becomes a very steady, dependable cornerback as well. If that's the case, I would think about moving Josh Thompson inside. Depending on the matchup that week, though.
depending on the matchup that week and how many guys you're dropping and who you and really, and like you just said, who you're facing.
I mean, it's great, though, that Texas might be able to trot out Josh Thompson, Deshaun Jameson, Darian Dunn, Anthony Cook, and Chris Adamora. Like, guys who all have cornerback slash nickel experience.
That's true.
Like, that's... None of those guys have separated themselves as elite players, but if you're talking 1 through 5, there probably aren't a lot of teams in college football who have guys with that potential and also that experience playing those positions.
Agree with that.
I'm gonna respectfully disagree.
Okay.
I just think we're overrating. And I'm just not going to believe these guys are that good until I see it.
I don't think they're that good. I just don't know 1 through 5 there are teams that even potential-wise can match that and experience-wise can match that.
Yeah.
I would say coming in, they're all potential. Highly rated. Yeah, so that's the potential that I think BK's talking about.
I'm saying Bama or Clemson. Like, no, there's the obvious teams you put ahead of them. Yeah. No question.
But you're saying maybe 15 schools.
No, look around this conference.
About five-star. He's talking about five-star DBs, though, and I agree. Those five-star DBs you got just are stacked on top of one another. Yeah. Anthony Cook, you got throw B.J. Foster in the mix, Tyler Wilson. I agree with you.
But we've seen enough of their play. They're not five-stars.
No, they are 5 stars.
Okay.
They may not play
They were
like
in
it.
High school.
They were in high school. Yeah. They were 5 stars. I agree.
Not
They're
on
not
the
40. Anymore. They're not anymore. So I agree with BK. I think it is deep in terms of the talent, but talent development has been the biggest issue on the 4 Acres for the last decade. So not surprising that what is lost in translation between this really, really talented group of recruits you brought in and Texas not producing NFL caliber players is development.
Development. Well, we've talked about it a bunch. I also think they've missed on some of the evals. So some of these
guys may just be
missed on evals, and the recruiting guys got it wrong because they're going to get it wrong a lot, and that's okay. And some of it's also development. So what I'm hoping is there's just I'm looking at a completely different secondary and guys that that don't turn into space cadets when the ball's in the air. All right, that was healthy. That was fun. Let's get to the next one. Jake Smith, Tro Amiri, and Jordan Whittington will be the wide receiver trio. Rod, I'll start with you. That I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are your top three separators at wide receiver. You just want someone at wide receiver that can create separation on their own. I think all three of those guys can create separation on their own. They all have their X-Man abilities, if you will, within their skill set. And I know that there'll be more positionless aspects to Sark's offense than there were with Tom Herman's offense. He was very, very stubborn and, you know, rigid about, hey, the X receiver plays here and the H always plays here and the Y will play here. It's very stupid. There is way more fluidity within those roles of the wide receivers within Sark's offense. It's going to do a lot to scheme a lot of these guys open and make their lives easier. But these are the three guys right now. That's why the reports are the wide receivers are struggling in spring practice, right? No Jake Smith. Tro Amiri is not practicing or fully participating in practice. And then you have Jordan Whittington, who's just getting back on his feet because he hasn't really had – this is probably the longest he's been healthy, period. As a long-going football player, I'm not going to wood because I don't want to jinx it. So, yes, those
are
the three
guys. Maybe
don't
knock on wood this time because I feel like we've tried that
wood,
in the past and then he ends up getting hurt
again.
True. So maybe we're like reverse jinxing him.
Yeah, but I agree with
it's
that.
It's like one of those pin dolls. I'm knocking on wood and I'm actually knocking on him.
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right, let's just keep him healthy. BK, you had kind of mentioned this, that there was an insider nugget that the receivers weren't living up to what they thought. Is this more, all right, these guys aren't playing right now, but because no one stepped up, where it's got to be these guys?
Yeah, the one guy who has been mentioned as a really, really good participant thus far in spring practice is
Jordan Whittington, right?
You've heard players, you've heard coaches praise Jordan Whittington and his ability. We know how good this guy can be, so no surprise there. Yeah, I don't know if this is that bold of a prediction. I mean, these are the three that I expect. Maybe the boldness is leaving Joshua Moore out of the mix. But I think Joshua Moore is going to be a key figure on this offense. Hopefully he can stay healthy as well. I think that guy's got some talent. I think he was severely misused by Tom Herman. I just view that guy, maybe it is more positionless. I hope it is more positionless where guys can line up inside or outside. I personally believe most U.S. Americans don't have mass. I personally believe that Joshua Moore's skill set and his size just suits him better as a slot guy. I couldn't for the life of me figure out why Tom Herman kept lining him up on the outside. Rod, you talked about this a bunch. I remember you talking about this.
Yep.
The Oklahoma State game. Mm-hmm. The two biggest plays that Texas made offensively against Oklahoma State. Where was Joshua Moore lined up?
In the slot.
In the slot.
Yep.
So I want to see more of that. So I'm not closing the book on Joshua Moore at all. I'd put him in that first tier of guys. I think there's a tier one for these wide receivers, and it's those four. It's Jake Smith, Jordan Whittington, Tro Amiri, and Joshua Moore. How you want to order those guys? You'd probably order them differently, but I think that is your tier one right there. The question is, if something happens to any of those guys, or hell, you know, you're going to need to give guys plays off too.
Yep.
everybody else you bring in can't be a problem.
Right.
Like you can't have receivers 5 through 10 on your roster not be assets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need more than just four guys to be successful with this Steve Sarkisian offense in this conference.
The drop-off can't be that significant.
Yes.
When you lose your top starters or if something happens to those guys with an injury. And, you know, and I know Andre Coleman's got a lot of praise, and I am going to start fresh, clean slate with Andre Coleman. But if the wide receivers can't get off a jam next year, even with Jordan Whittington playing and Terrell Murray now healthy and playing, if those guys can't get off a jam, I'm going to be calling for somebody to be fired. Because last year, I'll give you the numbers, Texas wide receivers being targeted while in press coverage, all right, that Sam Ehlinger had a 27% completion percentage targeting any Texas wide receiver when they were being jammed at the line of scrimmage, and 3 yards per attempt. 3 yards per attempt.
Not great, Bob.
No.
27% completion percentage. Yeah. So if they can't get off press coverage, and that's all TCU did up against them, and that's what Oklahoma decided to do, that's a big reason why Texas lost those games. So I'm expecting Andre Coleman to maybe teach those guys how to get off a jam this offseason.
I'm completely with you, and I will have your back and be right behind you.
Yeah, merge me in on that call, please.
Yeah, exactly.
You do make that call for his head. I want to be merged in.
That's all right, I'm saying.
Final,
thank you, fellas. Thank you for the support.
No, you kidding me? You've been all over that early on. Final bold prediction here. When healthy, I like this one. When healthy, Derek Kerstetter is not a starter.
Ooh.
And when I heard that, I thought, now that would be great. So that would mean that the Christian Jones of the world and those guys are doing well. Here's Joe Cook had this today at Joseph Cook 89, and check out the 1-0 podcast.
Shout
Texas
out.
Defensive tackle Keandre Coburn says Jake Majors and Rafidi Girmay are both doing good jobs. Says Angelau is around 315 and looks the part. Also shouts out Andre Carrick and Christian Jones. Said Jones is standing out the most. So maybe some of these guys, BK, that we've heard their names forever, and we've heard Christian Jones, and we're hoping they develop, that maybe with Kyle Flood, they are taking that next step. And all of a sudden, Derek Kerstetter, who was so needed a couple years ago, and then showed some versatility, at least
forced versatility
at center, because the line was in that situation. Yep. Although I think Jake Majors probably could have played a little bit earlier if they would have actually done things schematically with him. Then,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Then,
y'all hear some?
Yeah. Then hopefully these guys are taking that next step, and maybe he just gets beat out.
Yeah.
Am I buying this too quickly?
No, I don't think you're alone.
I'm hoping.
I think it is a bold prediction. And look, having Derek Kerstetter as your swing guy, as your sixth man, if you will, in your offensive line, that'd be huge, right? Because we're talking about a guy who's been on campus for 4 years, a guy who's been a starter for 4 years. I don't want Derek Kerstetter to be overlooked. Because he was not good at center last year.
No.
He did not great. He was not good at center last year. He was very good at right tackle.
He was.
I mean, he was one of the highest graded right tackles in the country 2 years ago. So I don't want this dude to be forgotten. Like,
wasn't he ranked higher than Cosme by PFF?
I think in pass
grade. Pass grade he was.
So, let's give this guy a shot at right tackle, please, because he might be this team's best right tackle still. Christian Jones might be doing great. Andre Carrick showed some great things down the stretch in those final two games against K-State and Colorado. But, I still hope Derek Kerstetter's a starter, and I think he should be a starter. Now, the question becomes, did that gruesome ankle injury slow him down? Does that make him a worse player? Or will he be 100% by the time the season rolls around? If he's not, then I think there's more of a discussion. But, man, for me, as long as Derek Kerstetter hasn't completely forgotten to play right tackle, I think he's your best option at right tackle. So I want him as one of your five.
I like that take. Rod, are you with this?
I think BK makes a good point. I would just find my starting five right now, and obviously Kerstetter's not a part of it. Figure out who your best five are, and then in training camp, see if Kerstetter can beat out one of the guards or the tackles. I mean, right. I would like them. I'm with BK. I would focus on the right tackle. And
or guard. Left, I like that.
Wherever Ungalau is not going to play. Ungalau right now is cross-training at both. They're cross-training Christian Jones and Andre Carrick at both tackles, which is smart. So I think when Kerstetter comes in, whichever one of those guys Kerstetter can beat out, except for center, because I agree with you guys, Jake Majors, better option there. As you talked about yesterday, KD, the reach blocks, he's just more athletic overall.
We have a coach that'll play to that strength.
Yeah, he's more compatible with the zone blocking scheme that they're going to use a lot with Bijan. So, yeah, just kind of, I think it's a first world problem. You haven't had on the offensive line in a long time. I think you got a first world problem where
we've had Flint, Michigan water.
Exactly. And now you got whether Kerstedt or your veteran, Swiss Army knife at offensive tackle, guard, or center, where are you going to put him? Or will he just be a piece to manufacture depth? That's a good situation to be in.
No doubt about that. Go to hornfm.com if you missed our conversation about the first three of those seven bold predictions for Texas Longhorn.
It was a good article.
Football. Yeah. Great article.
Good job by him, and it gets real conversation going, and all these things are things we're going to be tracking.
Made show prep easier today.
It did. It was fun read.
Thanks, Griff. Rod B., what you have? What do you...
What you have, no, dog? What you got, dog?
You start
what
talking.
You renting on, bro? Yeah.
Yo, where's Sri Lanka?
That's great.
I dated a Sri Lanka.
Did you really?
No. I just, like it's a name.
Oh, I thought you dated a Sri Lanka.
I've hit a lot of countries. I have not checked that one off the list. Kevin Dono, slide into the DMs. Are you Sri Lankan?
He's trying to be a part of the Rainbow Coalition, if you know what I mean.
And I don't want any of this Elizabeth Warren crap either. Don't tell me you're like 1%. I want a Sri Lankan.
He wants the more exotic, the better for KD. Trust me. All right, we come back. We'll get into some Texas football discussion. There was a tweet yesterday by Tyler Owens that got everybody excited. I'll try to explain why it is such a promising possibility of him moving to linebacker and what that could mean for the Longhorn defense. We'll talk about that and more in Rod's Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And I want to reflect back on a tweet from yesterday. Tyler Owens tweeted out yesterday, quote, me in, with an actual N, it was like me in, but me in, at agent zero, _, in the box. And that was the end of it. But then it had some big eyes emojis,
Was it knee in, me in, what
it's,
was it?
N, but the end is supposed to be, it's supposed to, like, and. Like, that's how young people say
N. Okay.
Me in. You know what I mean? Me in agent. Me in agent.
I'm feeling old.
Me in agent. You know what I mean?
Who?
I know. And then he spelled out.
Speaking Cantonese?
And he spelled out in the box. Or Sri Lankan, maybe. But he spelled, out in the box. Anyway, that's how the young folks speak on Twitter. But either way.
I saw the eyes.
He had the eyes there. He was hinting that he might be transitioning and moving from safety to linebacker, much like DeMarvion Overshown, who is agent zero _, in the Twitterverse, much like he did last year. And I think we all consider that to be a successful move. 60 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 4 quarterback hurries, and 2 interceptions. He's out of this spring with a shoulder injury, but he did that without having spring practice last year. So I think DeMarvion Overshown is ahead of schedule and will probably be one of the best linebackers in the Big 12 next year if he stays on this trajectory. So the thought process is that, if Tyler Owens, with his unbelievable athleticism, I mean, this is a young man that ran a 10.34 100-meter dash.
Damn.
Ran a 4.37 40-yard dash.
That's my 40 time, by the way, the 10.37. That's my 40.
Why is that your 40?
Because that's about as fast as I can run.
Yeah. What do you think you'd actually run the 40? You think you could crack a 4.6?
Oh, God, no. No. He and I aren't running under 5 right now.
You think you would even crack a 5?
No.
I'm not sure I'd crack a 6, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd crack and down a 6-pack within a few minutes, but I wouldn't be able to crack.
You're young, though. You're a young man.
Dude, I've been slow forever.
Yeah.
You're young now, but you've been slow forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Age is not...
Age doesn't help with it.
Age doesn't help at all. Well,
that's one of the fast
age
twitch
is the reason
thing.
I'm no longer fast. I used to be fast.
Yeah, you used to be fast.
Now I agree that just seeing times like that, it makes my legs hurt just thinking about running.
Here's
fast.
The real question. What do you think you'd run right now?
Oh, probably a 4.8, 4.7 maybe.
Okay.
If I'm training for it or something. Yeah. I mean, trust me, I can feel the deterioration.
So you'd have Deion look at you and go, man, you slow.
Deion probably could beat me right now. Well, how old is Deion? Deion probably could beat me right now. I mean, think about the fact. Daryl Green at 50 years old, I think ran a 4.4.
Oh, at 50 he did? Because I remember he played until he was almost 40.
I believe he did it at 50. I believe he ran a 4.4 at 50 years old.
Wow.
So I'm not even 50.
That's so stupid.
Anyway,
man.
That's Daryl Green. He's a freak. But I digress. Getting back to Tyler Owens, also a freak. So you think about taking that type of athleticism and putting it in the box at the linebacker position, kind of what you did with Overshown. But if you're talking about just overall athletic scores, overall athleticism, Tyler Owens is more of an athletic freak than DeMarvion Overshown is. And by the way, DeMarvion Overshown is a freak. I'm not saying he's not in his own freakish category, but Tyler Owens has more upside in terms of his overall athleticism. He was a top 10 safety coming out of Plano East, I believe, at the time.
You're not saying that he'd be better at that position.
I'm not saying he'd be better at
that
position.
But your point about him and the numbers, he's more freakish with speed and quickness and athleticism.
Yeah.
You're right.
What is he, 6'2", 6'3"?
Owens?
Yeah.
I think he's like 6'3", right?
I think he's around 6'3", something like that. I don't know exactly what it's mentioned, but either way, his freakish athleticism is something that's well-documented. And a lot of, I saw people on Twitter saying, man, that'd be the fastest linebacking core in college football. And it may be. It may be, but I think I would disagree with that statement. Even if he did, they'd be one of the fastest linebacking corps in college football. Because linebackers are getting faster. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know if it'd be the fastest linebacking corps in Texas football history. Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson, by the way, was a freakish linebacking corps. By the way, I went back and looked at it. Gary Johnson got clocked at 4.43 at the NFL Combine. He was the third fastest linebacker at the Combine in 2019. Devin White ran a 4.42. Devin Bush ran a 4.43. I believe his milliseconds had him ahead of Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson was right there, third fastest linebacker in that class. And Malik Jefferson, the year before that, was also third fastest linebacker in the class, ran a 4.52. Shaquem Griffin, remember that year he ran a 4.38, fastest time for a linebacker in like, I don't know, 17 years or something. But my point is, when you had that much speed at linebacker, remember that 2017 defense when you had those two guys. And I went back and looked at it and wanted to clock it. I wanted to get actual quantifiable numbers to bring you guys. Because I've said this before, but I never could prove it, and now I actually can prove it. At that time, and I said it at the time in 2017, your linebackers were faster than any of your DBs. Your linebackers were your two fastest players on the field, arguably. Deshaun Elliott's 40 time was 4.58. Jason Hall was in 4.59. Houghton Hill and Chris Boyd and Antoine Davis were the three DBs that were faster than Gary Johnson and Malik Jefferson based on their 40 time, because Antoine Davis ran a 4.36. That was unofficially. His family member told the Statesman. Houghton Hill ran a 4.49. Chris Boyd ran a 4.45.
My dad said I ran a 4.5 at Westlake.
I know. It was like his family member, and I was like, I don't know if I can
trust
that.
Seems legit.
So I'm like, I don't know. I looked for more times, but was
it an uncle or aunt?
That's the most credible source we
can get. I ain't trusting the uncle.
I think he was like a dad. I think he was like his dad. Anyway, but no, Antoine Davis was fast, though. I remember that. He was actually a track star coming out of high school, so I can believe that.
Right?
Yes. Good memory. Then Devontae Davis ran a 4.57. John Bonney, remember, played some of that nickel, ran a 4.64. P.J. Locke, 4.57. Brandon Jones, who didn't even run at the combine because he was hurt, but he was the most well-prepared person at the combine because he made this booklet, if you will. Basically, he made a playbook of all the NFL 32 teams' defenses, and that was really, really impressive. So
what
impressive.
A kiss-ass. I love it, though, and it's smart.
It was so impressive that I don't have him. I don't have him on the record for running a 40 at his pro day or at the combine. I don't think he did.
He was dealing with injuries.
He was injured.
So he got drafted in the third round and didn't run a 40.
Wow. Yeah. At that position, too.
At that
position.
Speed
is so paramount.
So, guys, make a little guide or make a little booklet about every other team's defense or offense, because apparently that went over really well with Brandon Jones.
Yeah, it did.
I couldn't find, but I found his high school time. They had him at a 4.56 coming out of high school. So, if you look at that defense, you take away the corners, all right? Basically, Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson were faster than all the safeties except for Antoine Davis when he played nickel. So they were among your fastest guys on the field at the time. Now, take that you know, same thought process and rationale and apply it to this defense, say Tyler Owens does end up winning the linebacker job at one point. Not even saying it's going to happen this offseason or maybe not at the beginning of the year. At one point, say it's a successful transition and it's him and DeMarvion Overshown at your linebackers, you really would replicate the same recipe.
Yep.
Right? Because B.J. Foster is a 4.52. Jaron Thompson's a 4.6. Anthony Cook ran a 4.57. Josh Thompson's a 4.57. Deshaun Jameson is the only one. He's a 4.48. But Chris Adamore, 4.6. Darian Dunn might be faster. He was a bronze medalist in the 60-meter indoor hurdles. So he's got some get up and go. He can run. Brendan Schooler couldn't find a 40. But I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, here we go.
My assumption.
Your assumption is he can't run.
No, my assumption.
That's my assumption.
I take up for the white safety.
I know you do.
My assumption is that Tyler Owens is faster than Brendan Schooler, not because he's a
racist.
White safety. But I don't
that's
have
racist.
That document. It's not racist.
You don't have it documented.
I know. I'm just gonna,
I've seen both guys run. I think you're right.
I'm just going to make that assumption and assume it's a safe one. DeMarvion Overshown and Brendan Schooler may be fighting it out. I don't know who's faster. Because DeMarvion Overshown, I think he's a 4.6 guy. But my point is...
But he's also changed his body a little bit.
Changed his body a lot. My point is your linebackers would be among your top three fastest members of your defensive back, mm-hmm. like your defensive back seven.
Yeah.
Which is something that was unique to that 2017 defense, which allowed them to go into the lightning package. That's what allowed them to be such a unique lightning package, was because they had that speed at linebacker that didn't allow for mismatches. Those guys actually could bang in the box.
That's the best defense they've had for the Big 12 offenses.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, seriously.
That's the best defense they've had for that.
I went back and looked at it. Dude, okay, Missouri. That Missouri game, they held Missouri to 390 total yards. They were averaging 579. They were on a six-game winning streak. That Oklahoma State game, I think, is where they unveiled the package. They held Oklahoma State to, I think it was around 18. Oh, sorry, I got the numbers right there. My bad, I got mixed up here. So Oklahoma State had 428 total yards, 140 below their average.
Yeah, and that was an overtime game, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Baylor was averaging 445 yards per game, and they had them at 249 total yards and forced three turnovers. TCU was held to 343 total yards. That was the third, I think their third lowest output of 2017 at the time. Texas Tech got 395 total yards. They were averaging 474. West Virginia had 295 total yards. That was a season low for them. So that defense was really, really effective, man. It basically held the opponents for Texas the last seven games when they were playing the lightning package as their base to 18 points per game on average, and they forced 16 turnovers in seven games.
Wow.
They just went on, because it was really hard to match up with. And remember, what they also had was this defense also has, or at least it could, they had three corners that they believe were starting corners.
Mm-hmm.
They had Holden Hill, they had Chris Boyd, and they had Devontae Davis.
Yeah. God, Holden Hill was... We talked about he was the last great corner they had.
He was the last shutdown corner.
On the field, he was
a shutdown corner. Couldn't play the entire season because he had issues off the field, but he was truly a shutdown corner. Totally agree. I've had scouts that told me that guy was a first or a second round pick if he had just played the entire season.
That's why they still gave him chances.
He's still in the league right
Stay
now.
Stay off the weed.
I just think that you could replicate something. And by the way, that D-line was a strength for Texas, too, at the time. That's why they felt they could go with three down linemen. And they were stealing the scheme from the Iowa State Cyclones, because they took their inverted Tampa 2 package, if you will, and just decided to implement their own version of it with those six DBs. But they had Puna Ford, who was probably the best defensive lineman in the Big 12 that year, ended up being undrafted, but was defensive lineman of the year. And they had Charles Amenu, now mm-hmm. both two good NFL starters players, in the league. And remember, Breckenhager was on that line. He was a liability a lot of the time. But he went along with the flood the field with speed recipe that Todd Orlando was going with. Pete Kwiatkowski is going to have that same element if you get a guy like Tyler Owens in that position. And while we're wrapping it up real quick, the linebacker position is getting faster. It's a great quote from Mike Tomlin about scouting defensive prospects. Look like what you hunt. And that's happening now at the linebacker position. No position in football has had to evolve more or faster than the linebacker position in a spread and space era. In 2018, you had four linebackers who ran a 4.5 of any kind, 4.59 or faster. All right. In 2019, that number was at 9 linebackers. In 2020, it's at 7. And I think now you're starting to see more transition of linebackers who were once played safety. I remember that quote from Mike Gundy from last year that I pulled up. That was a great quote.
Not that one.
But it's a good one. He said about 3 or 4 years ago, we changed our thought process in recruiting. We switched more scholarships to defense, and he said that they stopped recruiting specific linebackers and safeties. He said, we've eliminated recruiting corners and safeties and linebackers. We recruit the same player that we feel like can play any of those five spots, and we watch how their body grows, and we add weight. So
interesting.
That's because it's going to more hybridism, so you can tell that's where Gundy decided to go. That's where Gary Patterson's been for years. Remember, Gary Patterson said, I don't even have a Mike linebacker. He said, in this league, you better have linebackers who can run vertical with wide receivers. We don't like Big Ten linebackers in Big 12 country.
Mm-hmm.
Look like what you hunt. Linebackers are getting faster, more streamlined. There were 27 off-ball linebackers, inside linebackers, picked in the first three rounds of the last three drafts. Their average size, when they were coming out of high school, was around 6'1", 216, and their average 40-yard dash is 4.6 flat. Getting faster, they're getting sleeker, and they're more streamlined. And I think that fits to what Tyler Owens could bring Texas linebacking core.
Good stuff, awesome. Man. Now, you weren't watching then, so I'm going to give you a break, but you missed Tyson King, Tyson Cotrera, Kyle Richardson, and Dusty Renfro. I mean, that may have been the fastest linebacker.
I remember Dusty Renfro.
Yeah, those guys were all good players, but I'm not saying that to get on them because they help win a lot of games here, but it goes to show you where football's gone.
Exactly.
When you think about where the Texas linebackers have gone the last 20 years.
Great point.
The neck rolls per capita
yes.
has also gone way down.
It has to
huge pads.
Yep.
You can't turn. You got to be able to see the spread formation.
Yeah. Right.
You can't even turn your neck with that damn thing.
No chance. Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, there is a former Texas college player who is rising up NFL draft boards. We'll tell you who that is and what it might mean for a Texas Longhorn. Next.
Welcome back. GetToHornFM.com. If you want to check out the entirety of this show and any of the shows, earlier on we did talk a little mock talk, and we'll continue to talk more mock drafts. That's at 4:05 if you want to get to HornFM.com and check that out. Also get the Horn app. It's BK. It's Rod. I'm Kevin, taking you all the way up until 7 o'clock. And, you know, it's always feels good when you throw a call out there, throw out a take, and you know, sometimes it works out. And my Kellen Mond take, I think, is actually looking right now. We'll see exactly where he goes. Like, he is going to be a second rounder. I thought that would be the highest he would go, maybe third round. But I was like, watch out, guys. I mean, second round, he's got the type of skills that someone's going to fall in love with him. And it only takes one. And saw a couple articles, including one on SI, just talking about how Kellen Mond is rising up the draft boards. Rod, he's not in those, I guess, big five, as we're calling it, but he's right after that. Would you be surprised at all if he goes in the second round to some team that is looking for a QB?
No. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, had a quote. He said, I think where he sits in the draft right now, outside of the big five that everyone is talking about, teams feel that if they hit, they can hit on a starter. To me, the floor is a backup. We know he can be a backup, but if you hit, you're hitting on a starter, and that's what has teams so intrigued, end quote.
There's most generic quote, evaluation of a guy ever.
I know, but he's saying that's why he's rising up, because, listen, Sam's not seen as a starter if you hit on him.
No.
Nobody's like, if I hit on Sam Miller, he's going to be a starter. Nobody's saying that.
I think there's a lot more people that think that Mond could be a starter.
Yeah, that's the difference. Okay. Like, some of these guys, nobody believes they're ever going
to
be a starter.
No, Ian Book and Sam Ellinger, I love them to death. They're backups in the league.
Yeah.
I think there are teams that believe, though.
Yeah.
Maybe
right. But by the way, I'm not saying they're right, by the way. Because
right.
I'm not saying,
yeah.
By the way, they probably team said that about Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy's not a starter. Got
right.
no shot.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
So
quote
they
just
don't
feels
know.
Very generic.
They don't know what they don't know about quarterback.
I feel like 90% of draftable players, the ceiling is they start and the floor is they don't.
Well, no, another evaluator said
ceiling is the roof.
That Mond was initially discussed as a late third round or early fourth round prospect, but he could have pushed himself into the top 50 after his workout.
Wow.
What they really liked about his workout, just goes to those intangible things, kind of what Brandon Jones did, preparing a dossier, if you will, of information for teams to show them how much he had been studying their different defenses and his suggestions for them and how they could utilize him within their defense. It was brilliant, worked out for him, actually drafted in the third round without running a 40. Well, Kellen Mond didn't hire a quarterback guru or quarterback coach. He ran the workout himself.
Mm-hmm.
He instructed the wide receivers what routes to run. He was the one talking to the scouts.
He's pretty smart.
It is pretty smart. Yeah. It seems pretty simple.
As long as you can do it.
As long as you can do it. Yeah. And then also be able to focus on performing at a high level, which reportedly he did. It was impressive to scouts to watch him show leadership, to command huddles, to be able to instruct and delegate. Those are things that quarterbacks have to do anyway. And I got to tell you, I think that was part of the reason he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Ran his own damn workout.
They called it a Spartan workout straight out of his own imagination in this SI article.
Yeah, he said, I watch NFL. I know what routes NFL wide receivers run, what routes quarterbacks run. I got to tell you, just saying that to an NFL scout will impress him.
It's also showing I will be a leader for you.
Yeah, like I know what the NFL is looking for. I know what an NFL quarterback, what's expected of an NFL quarterback, and I am that, and I'll show you.
Yeah. So I think he goes high. BK, how does this impact Sam, or does it at all?
I mean, the run on quarterbacks might impact Sam,
right?
Like if Kellen Mond ends up going in the second round of the fourth round, where I think he probably should go, then maybe there's a chance Sam creeps up a little bit. Now, Sam's not going to be a second-round pick. Sam's not going to be a first two-day pick, which means the top three rounds. But you know, if there is a huge run on that second tier of quarterbacks, the Kyle Trasks, the Felipe Franks, Jamie Newmans of the world.
Ian Book, too.
Yeah, then Sam Ehlinger maybe could find his way to the back end of the fourth round. Yeah, I don't see it with Kellen Mond. I think Kellen Mond is like Josh Dobbs to me. Remember Josh Dobbs coming out of Tennessee?
That's a good comp.
I feel like there are a lot of similarities between those two. I mean, Kellen Mond, when he's on, he's got a chance to be a lower-tier starter in the NFL, I think. But when he's on, I mean, he couldn't be on against Vanderbilt last year. Played great in the Florida game. Florida has a lot of NFL dudes. If he plays like he did in the second half of that game, then hell yeah, he's got a shot. But there's just, I know he was more accurate and more consistent last year, but you can't be hit or miss in this league, man.
No.
Especially at that position.
No. Yeah. No.
So it's like, I don't think he's ever going to be that.
I don't either.
So I wouldn't waste a first three-round pick on him.
When I was telling you I think he was going to go in the second round, it's not because I'm a huge Kellen Mond believer. I think he's actually a fourth-rounder, and I think he's a backup in this league. He's not consistent enough. You know, Mitchell Trubisky had, 14 starts? And you want to have 20 or more. Mm-hmm. You actually want that if you're going to draft someone who's going to come in, and especially if they're going to play right away. Mond has 40. And that's the good and the bad thing, because he's got enough sample size. I think we do know who he is, and it's only going to get harder with tighter windows at the next level.
Dude, if Kellen Mond only played last year,
he'd be
a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, if he was just a starter his senior year at Texas A&M, if there was somebody before him that played his first 3 years while he was in college, and Kellen Mond just did what he did last year with his size and some of the stuff that you were talking about, Rod, I think he'd have a shot to be a first-round pick. But people are seeing his first 3 years of just inconsistencies. That is just, I don't know if the ceiling is that high for him.
Ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling.
We have that.
Roof. The ceiling is the roof.
What a quote that is.
Michael. Great quote.
The ceiling is the roof.
So I still don't know what it means.
Michael's not an idiot either.
I have no idea what it means. No, it's brilliant. The ceiling is the roof.
I think he blew it.
What? What was he trying to say there?
Not that.
There's
the
not
way
that.
He was trying to say that. He had something in his head that was super inspirational and motivational, and he ended up just saying,
the ceiling is the roof.
That's not very high. That's not very high at all. The ceiling is the roof.
What's the floor?
What's the floor?
Depends on how high your ceilings are, you know?
I guess. The sky is the limit. The sky is the ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what he was trying to say.
I think he was at a basketball arena when he said
he
that.
He was.
The ceiling can't be that high.
Wasn't it Carolina
was he at the
related?
Dean Dome? Yeah. It could have been at the Dean Dome.
Oh,
I don't think the ceilings are that high there, man.
Ceiling is the roof.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, that's Kellen Moore.
That is.
It's quarterbacks. It happens every year. I mean, Tebow ended up being a first-round pick. Happens every year.
Unbelievable.
No, you're right. That's, somebody's going to roll the dice on a quarterback that we don't know. We're going to be like, they picked that guy. Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You've had enough Jordan Love picked.
Now, is there any way someone moves up and is like, look, if we're just going to do it, let's move up to 31 and take Kellen Mond. This is why we have the cameras.
Yeah,
please go back and look at Rod and BK's reaction when I said that.
No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do any of this. I wouldn't take him in the second round.
Yeah, but I also wouldn't trade up for number 3 for Mac Jones. But
no, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't have made that trade.
Neither would Kyle Shanahan. don't you worry. Yeah. He's not taking Mac Jones number three.
I'd get into a lot of trouble because I'd trade for Deshaun Watson right now. Get it while it's low.
Unreal.
That's really low.
No, it's low.
Talking about burning
it's
in low. Hell low. It,
oh, yeah.
It's a lot of lows.
Oh, yeah.
In that quote.
I would just, you know, I'd keep on bringing up Gavin Newsom. I'm not the worst in town.
337-3776 is the Specs text line. Check us out on Twitch, hornfm.com, to find that watch live link. When we come back, we'll get back into Longhorn football. Jeff Banks, the tight end / special teams coordinator. We've got audio from him. What is he looking for from the tight end position? And why you should be excited about his hire at Texas. Plus, at some point in the next hour, we've got Rangers tickets to give away. That's right, for tomorrow's Rangers-Padres game at the Gilf. We'll give you details on how you can win those next.